Hello there, and welcome to another edition of History, Mystery and Magic. I'm Molly Gowan, broadcasting on CRY 104 FM from Youghal in County Cork in Ireland. We have just celebrated the equinox, when day and night are of equal length, when the world is balanced momentarily before the darkness returns gradually. This is the festival of the harvest, of thanksgiving, of rejoicing and honouring Mother Earth and Father Sun, all the elements, all the planets, all of creation in its most cosmic, infinite beauty. We salute and give thanks and love to the planet and all living creatures, rocks, stones, trees, fish, the sea, the elements, as we are all one and we are all connected. At this time of year, we acknowledge the Earth, our Mother. This goes back to the matriarchal era, where the goddess reigned supreme. Knowledge of her worship was forbidden then to make way for a patriarchal system. Her worship survives as we honour Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, Star of the Sea. I'm guessing this star would be Venus, both morning star and evening star, whose shape we find in the centre of the apple. At this time of the year, the harvest is collected to feed us all until the spring. It is time to rest and rejoice in the balance that we find in our lives. Time to rest after all our labours and settle in to the firelight and the interior of the house, and indeed the interior of our own souls. It's time to get cracking on that jumper or scarf you wanted to finish by Christmas. Read that book you've been longing to read. Bake Christmas cakes. October is perfect for this. Get out and collect wild food, crab apples, blackberries, sloes, etc. And enjoy the fruits of the harvest. Last month's programme was focused on some of the characters that lived around these shores in the old days. This programme will continue with the maritime theme, and we look at the month of September and its traditions. And what we find now when we look around Youghal is a truly global Youghal. So I'm interested in people who are from Youghal, who've travelled extensively and returned home, and also people from abroad who live here and enrich the town with their diversity and their experiences and making it the centre of the universe, which of course it is when you live here anyway. My guest this afternoon is Ona Colin. Now, Ona was a great asset to the town. Ona, if you remember, had a beautiful shop where Bree Powers used to be, and she sold wool and all kinds of wonderful things to make, you know, knitting wool and fabric and buttons, and she's obviously dressed as a seamstress herself. And when I hadn't met her before, and I remember walking past there, and we used to always go into Bree and Ollie in there, and then I saw this wonderful lady. I thought how exotic she looked in her wonderful shop with all the colours and the fabrics and herself as well, and I thought, wow, she looks like an interesting person. And then someone said, oh yeah, she's from Youghal, and I thought, wow, amazing. So and then in the course of time I got to know her a bit from going in and out, and I'm very interested in making things myself, so we got to know each other a bit. So I wanted to her maybe to share her experiences here and her experiences of Youghal and what it was like to. So you were raised in Youghal, born and raised.
I was born in Dublin,
yeah,
and I was raised in Youghal. What can I say? Yeah, life.
And what was your early life like in Youghal?
Well, for those of you that don't know me, I am of mixed race. Mm-hmm. I was born in Dublin in a mother and baby home to an African father and an Irish mother. And I was adopted at the age of 2 months and brought down to Youghal, where I had four brothers and my parents.
Wow.
So I grew up in Youghal, went to school in Youghal. And yeah, it wasn't a bad childhood. It wasn't easy being the only person of colour in the town. So, yeah.
And were your four brothers all older than you?
Yeah, I was the
youngest. And you were the baby?
I was the baby, yeah. I had my own room.
Oh, wow, you were the little girl. Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Four boys in a room and me and my own.
Isn't that, oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Amazing. So you went to school in Youghal, did you?
Went to the Prez, yeah. And I went to Loreto with the nuns. I had the nuns all the way up. Yeah. So,
right. Well, yeah. There wasn't any alternative in those days,
was
there?
There was no choice.
No, I know.
Think you had the technical college if you went to secondary school, but I think that was maybe just for boys. You know how it was in
the
those
tech,
days.
I can't remember. I don't know. Yeah, not that many. It was mainly the nuns.
Girls didn't have
nuns,
much choices.
No, we didn't. No. So you then left Yall. Then
I left Yall after my leaving cert. I worked in Cork for a year or so, and then I just took off to London.
Yeah.
I just had to get out.
That was the beginning of your travels.
That was the beginning. Yeah. I knew I always wanted to travel. I wanted to be an air hostess, something to get me out of the, you know, to travel the world. So I took off to London when I must have been 19 or 20. Just to see other things, to see other people that look like me, I guess.
Oh, yeah,
you know? So, that's where it began. And I worked in London for a few years and I met my husband in London. And my husband is French and he had done his military service in a Caribbean island called Martinique. So he was always talking about that. So we got our backpacks and off we went to Martinique, passing by New York and Puerto Rico on the way.
Amazing.
The Virgin Islands, yeah. So we lived there for a few years. And then we moved to the sister island of Guadeloupe for another few years. Beautiful. And that's where my son was born, Benjamin.
Wow. The Caribbean must be gorgeous.
It is. It is gorgeous. It is everything you see in a postcard, but it's expensive because everything is imported, especially the French islands, because they're actually overseas French departments, which is like an overseas county.
Yeah, I know.
So everything is imported from France because people, even though they're living in the Caribbean, they want to be able to buy French produce.
Yeah.
So everything is imported. So everything is expensive.
And would the salaries be high then?
If you had a government job, I think they were like 40% more higher than in mainland France. But if you're just working in a normal job, it was tough. It's tough to have a good life in Guadeloupe.
Is it?
Or Martinique.
Yeah.
It's expensive. But it depends on your lifestyle. We're not fussy people, so...
Yeah.
We used to eat like the locals, you know, we need a lot of fish and fruit.
Beautiful.
And vegetables.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be big into eating.
Not the foie gras from the market.
No, we'd have it at Christmas time. But not on a daily basis. No.
Wow. And so you returned then to...
So we returned...
to you all? When did you
when my son was five, Well, I got quite ill when he was born.
Did you?
And the son apparently wasn't good for me. And also... He started going to school in... They go to school at three in France. And the schools were offered on strike, you know. French have a reputation of going on strike when they're not happy. Yeah. And every second week they seem to be on strike. And I just thought, I don't want this for him.
You don't want to raise them there.
I don't want to raise them like that. Well, you can't. You know, his education is important. And we all know that education in Ireland is one of the best.
Definitely.
So we move back and put him straight into the Irish school below, the Gaelic school. He already had a base in French, so for him the Irish was no big deal.
Yeah.
Because they don't know when they're kids.
No.
You know, so he just picked it up and he went all the way through Gaelic school and then he went to Pobl school and then he went on to do a degree in UL.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. And you were telling me he's just joined...
He's just joined the French Air Force.
Wow. That's interesting.
So he's gone now. We have an empty nest.
But it's interesting that you wanted to be an air hostess and now your son's in the Air Force.
Do you know why I never thought of that?
Just when you said it, it just came to me.
Yeah. Travelling, I suppose.
Yeah, amazing.
Travellers.
That's wonderful. And how did you find Joel then? You said, when did you set up the shop?
So, 10 years.
Yeah.
I actually celebrated 10 years at the on the 11th of August of this year.
Wow.
And I finished up then at the end of August.
Well,
and we came back about 9 years before that. So I suppose the shop came about because, I don't know really. I did all kinds of jobs when I came back and courses. But I've always had a needle and thread in my hand kind of thing. And I started doing little jobs for people. And then I saw there was an opening because there was a crash, of course.
Yeah.
People didn't have any money. And I'm big into recycling anyway. I can spot a potential in something.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing more and more, and then I thought, I need to open a shop, you know?
And it was great. It was great to see that in y'all, because there was always like the haberdashery in Merrick's, and there was always, you know, and to have all those beautiful wools and everything available.
Yeah, you see, it's hard to survive selling wool alone.
Yeah,
you know,
because
it kind of died out, but it's coming back now.
People are getting best. Yeah, great. It's very good for your brain. Very good for your head. Yeah. Very good for your mental health to be knitting. And so, do you have any regrets about closing down the shop? Or
no, to be honest. I did my 10 years.
Wow.
Not my 10 years, sounds like a prison sentence. But I did 10 years and I just felt it was time to move on. You know, there's a lot of changes. Like, my son is gone now and it paid for my son's education and everything. And now he's gone on to live his life and... It's time for me to start living
my life. And you're going back to, you're back at college, you told
me. I am.
Me.
I'm in my second year of fashion design in Mallow.
Wow.
So I'll hopefully be doing more creative than repairing and recycling.
Yeah.
Even though I like that.
Designing.
Too. Designing, possibly.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
We'll
Gorgeous.
See. We'll see. No plans.
You're enjoying it anyway.
I'm loving it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you find a change? You're glad you came back to Yole?
Of course.
And your son is doing well. That's the main thing, wasn't it? His education. No, Yole
is good to us. Mm. And it's been good to my son and my husband. My husband loves it. He was very much involved in the soccer club for a long years.
Right.
Years. And no, we're enjoying now. We're free again. I'm going to say young, free and single. But we're... We walk the beach. We swim daily. It's
wonderful.
You know, we have a good life here. The
Amazing.
Air is pure.
Beautiful here, isn't it, John?
Yeah, we can
great.
Get out whenever we can go to Cork or Dublin when we want
yeah,
to see
it's,
something
well,
else.
Yeah, quite yeah. near Cork Airport, which is closed at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's opening on the 22nd of December again, in case anybody, which would make life a lot easier for a lot of people.
To travel, yeah.
Yeah,
we have
exactly.
to go to Dublin now.
Well, listen, it was so delightful having you on the programme. And did you say that you mentioned that you were a poet? I, as a poet myself, I'm always interested in people who write. Did you? Would you? Be,
yeah, I've
would
written
you like
a few
to
pieces.
Read us a poem of yours,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, I can, of course. This is one I wrote back in October. I was asked to write a poem called "The Skin That I Live In." It was for Black History Month. So,
yeah.
This was my first poem, actually, because I've never written a poem before, and someone asked me to do it, and I kind of went, how do you go about writing a poem? So she said, sit down with a pen and paper and see what comes up. So this is what came up. It's called "The Skin That I Live In."
Right.
I wasn't always sure about the colour of my skin. I didn't fit in. I wasn't the same. I got the stares, I got the looks, I got the nudges and the names. That's the way it was in those days. But the more I grew and travelled and saw that being of two cultures was not a flaw. From art to literature to music and dance, they didn't teach me that in school. I didn't have a chance. I'd only heard of the wars, the famines and drought, the penny for the black babies, the shame and the doubt. But today I'm stronger and taller and proud of my roots in both countries. I shouted out loud, from the masks of Nigeria to the green hills of Ayr, the abundance is clear. Check out my hair. There's more to me than what you see. This is who I am. It's all part of me. Who wouldn't want to be in the skin that I'm in?
That was a very moving poem, and thank you very much for sharing that with us. And you were telling me about some very positive things that have happened recently in terms of the people of Irish people of mixed race and the abuse survivors. And would you like to tell us a little bit about this organisation,
yeah, no
please?
Problem.
Because it's so interesting.
I've just come back from Bern, actually, in Switzerland. I was at a symposium. The theme was the European response to child abuse. We all know that child abuse in general, covers a lot of things. It can be physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, racial abuse. So I'm involved in an association called AMRI, which stands for Association of Mixed Race Ireland. And it's really made up of people... Children, who are now adults, born of African fathers and Irish mothers. these African men would have come here back in the 60s from independent African countries or countries that just became independent from British rule mainly. And the Irish reached out to them and sponsored a lot of them to study medicine, engineering, administration, so they could go back to their own countries and
develop
their own countries. Please. So we're all made up of mixed race, African fathers and Irish children, Irish mothers, sorry. So a lot of those, us, would have been brought up in institutions and they suffered a lot of abuse, you know, racial abuse.
Terrible.
And physical abuse. Some of us were lucky enough to get adopted, but a lot of them weren't adopted. They were prevented from being adopted. They were sent
because of their color.
Because of their color, yeah. And so we were invited to go to this symposium and give our input on that because a lot of people don't know the story about
us. It's coming out and needs to come out.
And we want to be recognized as a community of our own, you know.
That's great.
I got lucky enough to get invited with my friend Conrad, and it was a very interesting symposium. Yeah, this
Brilliant.
Is something I've been working with them or involved with them for a few years now, but this was really nice.
So that was a European initiative.
It's called the European Initiative.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had people from Ireland, obviously, and then
we were the only ones from Ireland, but you had Kosovo, you had Italy, Spain, Germany, Portugal.
The same story
Finland.
In all those places.
Every country has a past of child abuse. Switzerland has a pretty big past of child abuse, and they got recognition. They went to the Swiss government and they got recognition and reparation for their child abuse, and then now we're using that example and try to spread it across Europe.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. That's how it should be.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
You know, a lot of these people are suffering trauma. Even the people in the mixed race community, a lot of them immigrated to England to get away from it a bit like
Ireland,
I did.
Yeah.
And some of them ended up killing themselves because of the pressure and the trauma. There was no help in those days.
No.
And there's still no help, really, you know. So we're trying to get this in our reparation. You know?
That's fantastic, I think. I wish you the very best with that. That's a huge step forward for you. And you told me recently that you'd recently traced your father's people. It's so wonderful.
I did,
in the last year.
Back to Nigeria,
In the last year, imagine. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That must be really exciting.
Well, I did a DNA test.
Yeah.
And it's a long story.
I know, but just quickly.
I connected with a cousin.
Yeah.
To be honest, I did the DNA test and I asked them to do a DNA test. But as soon as they saw me, they knew.
They
recognized.
Do you look like the rest of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they said, welcome home, welcome to the family.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's nice, but I'd still like to do a DNA test just to be sure, you know.
Wow.
I don't want to find out down the line that, oops. So, and I was panicking for the 6 weeks we were waiting for the result. But they were like, no, it's grand.
Happy
you're fine.
Days. Brilliant.
So we're hoping to go and visit someday soon. We thought we'd go this year, but with COVID and everything, it's a bit too soon.
Yeah.
Early next year, hopefully.
So talk about your whole life has changed then.
Yeah, kind of.
Amazing. And the timing is good too, because you're just ready to... You know,
ready to take off again.
Yeah, the lad has fled the nest. He's off. He's taken his wings, and now you're free to go.
To go and go discover.
Wow, amazing!
Yeah.
Wow. And what part of Nigeria?
Afikpo. It's in the southeast, I think.
Well,
I can't think now.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah,
that's a great.
Actually, it was Biafra before. You probably heard of the Biafra War.
Yeah, I remember it well when I was growing up.
Yeah. So that's the part of the country he came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. Was such an interesting story. Such an interesting life and a happy ending. Isn't that marvelous? Well, you're very kind. Thanks very much.
No, my
for
pleasure.
Coming on the show and sharing that beautiful poem. It really says it all, doesn't it? Lovely, really amazing. So if anybody's interested in any of the issues that have come up, get in touch with me at the radio station. And I can, if anyone's interested in getting in touch with Una about the organisation, we can certainly pass on numbers and so on, because this is Community Radio Y'all, and we're here for everybody in the community. So now we're going to have Bob Marley, One Love.
Gideon. One love. So when the man comes, there will be